Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Crystal Lake Tax and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are not associated entities. Crystal Lake Tax is a franchise of Retirement Income Source, LLC. Retirement Income Source, LLC and Sound Income Strategies, LLC are associated entities.
If you're looking for financial advice that is not about selling you products, rather having a blueprint that coordinates your investments, taxes, and estate into one plan, all under one roof, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart. Michael is the founder of Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. Michael has been a fiduciary financial planner for over 20 years, serving clients across the country on their financial planning needs. Michael is the author of the Amazon book, Purpose-Based Investing, 9 Lessons to Rescue Your Retirement from Wall Street. So let's head over to the drafting table and get this episode of the Retirement Success Blueprint started.
Welcome to the Retirement Success Blueprint, where in retirement, income is the outcome, because without income, there is no retirement. This is your host, Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. Last week, I did an episode where I talked about what we Googled. I think the name of that one is Your Retirement is More Than a Google Search. It's the most Googled retirement questions. And we gave you some of those answers. So if you're interested, you can go back into the Retirement Success Blueprint radio archives. It's at our website, crystallaketax.com. If you missed it, today we're going to talk about the most internet search questions about retirement. So that'll kind of be the most Googled retirement questions, part two. So before we move on to today's topic, for those new to the show, at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we are wealth managers. So a lot of you ask, what's the difference between a wealth manager and maybe an investment broker? An investment broker just talks about your investments, right? They tell you that they went up or down. They talk to you once a year, but they really don't add any value. They just sell you stuff. They sell you investments. A wealth manager shows you not only how you should be invested, the right allocation, the right amount of risk, but it structures your portfolio so that your income's coming from interest and dividends, not just hoping that the market goes up. A wealth manager assists you with your estate planning. A wealth manager shows you ways to potentially reduce the impact of a healthcare event, like long-term care or home-based healthcare. And lastly, a wealth manager deals in proactive tax planning, how to save you hundreds of thousands, if not more, in unnecessary and voluntary taxes over your lifetime. At Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we've got fiduciary financial planners on staff, a CPA, a full tax team. We work with a legal team in-house to coordinate the investments, the taxes, and the estate plan all under one roof. You deserve that. Most people just have an investment broker, or as you approach or you're in retirement, what you really need is a wealth manager, somebody who can get arms around the taxes, the investments, the estate. You might have outgrown your broker. What you need and what they do might not be the same thing anymore. So let's face it, your biggest expenses in retirement are taxes, and your broker doesn't give tax advice. So it might be time to upgrade that relationship. Now let's go on to today's topic. This is the web's most searched retirement questions, part two. In part one, we searched questions about retirement income. We talked a lot about Social Security. So here's what we did. We took a Google search bar, typed in what retirement, then of course we know Google does autocomplete, right? Starts adding things on the back of that. And what came up first was what retirement plan is best? Well, it's because your plan, because it's your retirement. You have a certain retirement vision. It's probably unique from your neighbors, your coworkers, and certainly from your parents and even your siblings. So how you accomplish that from a financial standpoint is going to also be unique. There could be some older lab with different strategies where you receive your income. Certainly, most people in the U.S. have access to Social Security, so there's going to be some overlap to those decisions. But the best plan is going to be your plan, because it's going to show you how to accomplish your retirement vision in extreme detail. So when we searched what retirement, the next thing that came up was what retirement age. So people always kind of want to know, where do I stack up? How far away from retirement, and what's that magic retirement age? The magic retirement age is going to be based on what it is that you want to accomplish. How do you like your job? How much do you like your job? How much do you dislike your job? What's your health condition? How much money have you saved from an investment standpoint? When are you able to make the best decisions possible for you when it comes to delivering and maximizing your Social Security income? It's also going to things like, do you have a pension? was your job eliminated? And you're just kind of deciding, should I retire or should I move forward? Sometimes you don't get to decide those things. Sometimes your employer decides for you. So there's a lot of factors that go into what's the best retirement age. And I think the average retirement age across this country is about 62. And I think most people, when polled, would say they planned on retiring somewhere around 64. So that's right there. I'll tell you, at least from the recent, the last couple of years, people haven't made it as long as where they anticipated from a retirement standpoint. And again, there's a lot of factors that go into it. I think the average age is 62 because it's the first time most people are eligible to take Social Security. And so people think, well, I can take Social Security at 62. I don't know how long I'm going to live. And we hear all these reports about Social Security going broke. And there's a study that's conducted every single year that gets a lot of press saying that Social Security is going to get cut by 25% if they don't make any changes by 2034. So people look at that and they say, why not retire early, take Social Security, get all I can out of it before it goes broke? Whatever we can get out of it and start this retirement journey a little bit earlier than they had planned. And we're not saying that's necessarily wrong. You just want to understand the other math behind it. So what's the best retirement age for you? It depends. How much income do you need? How much debt do you need? Is the survivor benefit important for you? How much of your income is going to come from Social Security versus savings and other resources? So at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we can kind of help you with all that. And speaking of helping you with that, before we go to a break, because this is a show where retirement income is the outcome, we've put together what I refer to as our Retirement Success Toolkit. The Retirement Success Toolkit, it's got a copy of my recently published book in it, The Retirement Success Blueprint, How to Build the Retirement You Deserve, a white paper titled, Are You Paying Too Much Taxes in Retirement? And 11 Signs You're Working with the Wrong Advisor. So the Retirement Success Toolkit can be yours free of charge. We'll even cover the shipping. You just got to give us a call, 866-316-0822. Again, 866-316-0822. Just ask for the Retirement Success Toolkit or go to crystallaketax.com. Love to get that out to you. No cost, no obligation. Got some great things in it because you need some good things to keep you on that retirement journey. It's called the Retirement Success Toolkit. Get a copy of that in your hands today. You are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint. This is your host, Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. And today we're covering some of the web's most Googled retirement questions, part two. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. One minute you're moving up slow and steady just the way you like it. And then all of a sudden, your investment portfolio is in a free fall, up 800 points, down 800 points. It can be very scary. A lot of people no longer gamble with their retirement in the stock market. If you are tired of the ride and want to look at safer options, or would like to learn a better way to grow your money during these times,
call 866-316-0822. That's 866-316-0822. Or visit us online at crystallaketax.com.
Welcome back to the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart, brought to you by Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, with offices in Madison and the Chicago suburbs.
Welcome back to the Retirement Success Blueprint. I'm your host, Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. And today we are covering the web's most Googled requirement questions, part two. So next up, what we typed in, what retirement, our Google search bar, it came up with what retirement income is taxable. Now that's going to be varied based on the state you live in. So we have clients in 27 different states all across this great country. So the tax rules on retirement income are different. So there are a couple different levels of tax. There's the federal tax, then there's the state tax. And there's a lot of states out there that are either really favorable from a retirement income standpoint, kind of like Illinois, or like the state of Iowa, you know, they're becoming a little bit more favorable, but not right there yet. Then you got states like Wisconsin. Yeah, if you got a Wisconsin pension, they're favorable, but really they tax most of your retirement income. So we just talked a little bit about Social Security. In most states, the majority of states, Social Security income is not subject to taxation. So it's tax favored. Now that's at the state level. That's what we classify as tax-favored, meaning you're not going to pay as much tax on Social Security income as maybe you would from a pension or an IRA, you know, those pre-tax accounts that you've never paid taxes on before. Then we have the federal level. And the federal level is a little bit different from a standpoint that there's really three main types of retirement accounts, and they're all taxed differently. And what most people are familiar with is the pre-tax 401k plan, right? You put your money in every pay period. You never paid tax on that money as you deposit it in. And as it grows tax deferred. And then in retirement, when you take it out, you pay taxes on that money and all the growth when you pull it out for retirement income later. Then there's non-qualified accounts, or what we just call brokerage accounts, where you pay tax on those pretty much almost every single year on the interest, the dividends, any capital gains. You make contributions after tax, so it's money you've already paid tax on. Then every single year, you just pay taxes on those capital gains from buying and selling, you know, the dividends that they send you. You get a 1099 for those. But most of the capital gains, assuming they're long-term capital gains, and assuming the dividends are what they call qualified dividends, you pay taxes at the capital gains tax rate, which for most people is less than what their ordinary income tax rate is that they would normally be paying on their IRA and 401k distributions. Then you've got the most coveted retirement account from a tax standpoint, which is the Roth 401k, the Roth IRA. Again, you've used after-tax money, so you've already paid taxes on this money. So you pay tax on that income you received, and then you contribute it to the Roth 401k or the Roth IRA, and you never pay taxes on that original money, nor on the growth going forward. So it grows tax-free, you can take it out tax-free, and you can leave it as a legacy tax-free. It's the best type of account that's out there. So let's say you put $100 into the Roth IRA, it grows to $1,000. You don't pay any taxes on that $900 of gains, assuming it's a qualified distribution. So you have those three main different types of retirement accounts, and they're all taxed differently, which go into your retirement income plan. So which accounts do you withdraw money from first? Which accounts do you withdraw money from second? Third, do you use a combination withdrawal strategy? All of that goes into the very first question about what's the best retirement plan. Well, it's your plan. It's customized based on the resources and all of the factors that go into your retirement vision. So there's a common theme to all these answers. It depends on your situation. So what better way than to talk with a retirement planner or a fiduciary about your situation? So we're going to tell you about an opportunity. We call it a 15-minute strategy call. These are complimentary for all of our radio listeners. If you've entered a phase that you've never been in before, you're within 5-10 years of retirement, or you're already retired, we write these customized retirement income plans, estate plans, tax plans every single day. And you'll notice as you transition from the accumulation phase, right, the saving phase of your life, to the pre-retirement and retirement phase where now you need to protect it and get income off your investments, you're facing questions you never had to face before. And you're seeing these answers because the answers to these questions are going to impact the rest of your financial life. You've saved whatever you saved, $500,000, $1 million, $5 million, whatever that is. And that money needs to last you and your family for the rest of your life. And a lot of people also have legacy plans that go well beyond your lifetime, right? We want to leave money to the kids, the grandkids, the churches, charities, whatever they may be. So all of these decisions that you've never encountered before, you want to make sure that you're making the best decision possible. And that's what a written plan is for. We call ours a retirement success blueprint. Right? It's got an income plan, a tax plan, an estate plan, a healthcare plan. It's the stuff that we uncover on these 15-minute strategy calls. What are your concerns? What have you been thinking about? What questions do you have? How does all that impact your retirement? And what are some of the things you should be looking out for? All those things are the things that we talk about in that 15-minute strategy call. If you've got questions about something you're hearing on this show, or just retirement in general, taxes in general, estate planning in general, a great place to start is with a 15-minute strategy call. We're happy to do that for you. There's no cost, no obligation. How do you get on the calendar for a 15-minute strategy call? Give us a call, 866-316-0822, or you can go to the website, type in crystallaketax.com, crystallaketax.com, or once again, give us a call, 866-316-0822, and schedule your complimentary 15-minute strategy call to get your questions answered. If it makes sense to meet after that, great, we'll both know that. If it doesn't, you can utilize that 15 minutes to get your questions answered. No sales pitch, no hype. If we're a good fit, we're a great fit. If we're not, that's okay too, because we're all adults. So we, going back to our topic about Google's most searched retirement questions, part two, we typed into the Google search bar, what retirement? And the last thing that came up, and we're looking at the top four things that came up, is what retirement accounts are subject to RMDs, required minimum distributions. And this is a great question because there's so many different types of accounts out there and the different timelines in which you might be subject to RMDs with these different accounts. So one of the things that come to my mind right away is an inherited IRA, an inherited retirement account. So let's say your mom passed away and she left you her IRA. Well, that's now an inherited account. And based on the SECURE Act that was passed in 2020, the required minimum distribution was changed. So it used to be you'd have to take out a required minimum distribution, a certain percentage every year over the course of your life. It's what they call a stretch IRA. But now that required minimum distribution isn't applicable until the 10th year after you receive the inherited IRA. So you can actually take money out year one, year two, year five, but you aren't required to fully take it out until year 10. So with an inherited retirement account, you have to take an RMD because most of the time your retirement accounts, age 72 is when it kicks in, is where you have to start taking distributions. That just changed if you weren't 72 by 2023. Now that's 73, right? So, but you could be 30 years old and inherit an IRA, but you're mandated to take that distribution out no later than the 10th and final year, right? So you need to have a tax plan to figure out how you would take it out, what's the most tax-efficient way to take it out over the course of that time. And there's an IRS table that you have to abide by, and it's the IRS table is customized to receiving an inherited IRA as well. So it's all based on what your age is, what your life expectancy is. So the inherited IRA, that's one. What most people are thinking about with this question, though, is their own personal retirement accounts. So with your pre-tax IRA, you're mandated to take out a distribution once you start 73. So if you weren't 72 before the end of 2022, then your new required minimum distribution age is 73. Now, if you're well into your mid-70s, late 70s, 80s, and you're listening to the show, well, then for you, it was probably 70 and a half or 72. But for somebody that has not attained the age of 72 by the end of last year, your new required minimum distribution is 73 or later. So if you've separated service from your employer and you left your 401k behind, then you're mandated to take out distributions from all of your pre-tax accounts. And this next part's important because most people don't know this, but you're also mandated to take out a required minimum distribution from your Roth 401k, not your Roth IRA, but if you have a Roth 401k, there's an RMD attached to that as well. So again, this is when you separate from an employer, you left your money in the 401k plan, you've got some money underneath the pre-tax side, some money underneath the Roth side, you're 72 plus, and you are now mandated to take distributions from the pre-tax as well as the Roth when you're 73. So the reason it's confusing is because when you left that employer, if you would have rolled that 401k plan to your IRA, you would have taken the pre-tax money, rolled that to a pre-tax IRA. Taking the Roth 401k money, you would have rolled that to a Roth IRA. But now you're only mandated to take distributions from the pre-tax IRA, not the Roth IRA. So once again, it's the Roth 401k that has its own required minimum distributions. And that's because with the Roth IRAs, you are not mandated to take any distributions. And really the reason is because there's no benefit to the government, right? If you take money out of a Roth IRA, it's already been taxed. That's tax-free for you. So there's really no motivation for the government to force you to start taking it out. In fact, the whole purpose of required minimum distributions from your pre-tax accounts is because the government wants to force you to start taking money out, pay tax on it now, so that down the road, when you leave it to the kids, the grandkids, the charities, they've got a longer time frame in which they could take it out. So going back to the inherited account, unless it's an inherited Roth IRA, then you should still have all that money in by the 10th and final year. So I feel like I should draw kind of a diagram here. So if I categorize this in my mind, I'm visualizing a piece of paper, and I split the piece of paper right down the middle. And at the top left, it says retirement accounts. So I have to take an RMD. Top right, it says retirement accounts, that I don't have to take an RMD. So the only account that is in the right-hand side, whereas a retirement account that you don't have to take an RMD, is if you have a Roth IRA. Now, if you have an inherited Roth IRA, well, now it's on the left side, right? because you have required minimum distributions with inherited accounts. So if you have a 401k plan and you have a Roth 401k plan and you're 73 or later, it's on the left side. Why? Because you got to take a required minimum distribution. So the only account that you don't have to take an RMD from as a retirement account is on your own personal Roth IRA. And the reason this matters is because of taxes. You have more control in retirement over the account so that you can decide when you want to take the money from those pre-tax accounts. The whole deal that you made with the IRS is that they're not going to tax you when you deposit money into it. They're not going to tax you along the way while you're accumulating. They're only going to tax you once you start taking that money out in retirement. So that was the deal that you made with the IRS when you were putting money in that traditional IRA or that pre-tax 401k. But there has to be a time that the IRS starts receiving tax revenue from this IRA and 401k. And right now, that's 73. So that's what's called your required minimum distribution. That's why at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we do a lot of tax planning prior to your required minimum distribution, saying, hey, how do we minimize the amount that RMD is going to be so it doesn't blow up our tax return? Should we be doing things like Roth conversions? Should we be filling up the existing tax bracket that we're already in if that means that we could potentially save hundreds of thousands in unnecessary taxes over our lifetime rather than worrying about any one specific year? That's proactive tax planning. Now, because this is a show where retirement income is the outcome, I mentioned it earlier, we want to offer you what we call our Retirement Success Toolkit. It's got a lot of things in it. Why? Because you need a lot of things in retirement to get this right. A Retirement Success Toolkit, it's got a copy of my new book in it, The Retirement Success Blueprint, How to Build the Retirement You Deserve, a white paper titled, Are You Paying Too Much Taxes in Retirement?, and another companion report, 11 Signs You're Working with the Wrong Advisor. So the Retirement Success Toolkit can be yours free of charge. Let us know you want it. 866-316-0822. Again, 866-316-0822. Or go to the website, crystallaketax.com. That's crystallaketax.com. Love to get that out to you. We'll even cover the postage. We'll mail it out at our expense to get this critical Retirement Success Toolkit. Get it in your hands today. Give us a call, 866-316-0822, or go to crystallaketax.com. You are listening to the Retirement Success Blueprint. I am your host, Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. Welcome back to the Retirement Success Blueprint. Today, we are covering part two of the most Googled retirement questions. The next thing we typed into the Google search bar was early retirement, because we know that people are retiring earlier since the pandemic. So we want to see what people are trying to figure out about early retirement. Well, the first thing that came up was early retirement age. I alluded to it earlier that 62 was a previous early retirement age, but we know that that keeps creeping down every single year. And there's a lot of people who are just ready to retire. In our practice, we've seen it, especially once COVID hit, either they lost their job or they said, you know what, I don't want to go through this thing again, or the government can kind of shut down the economy. Mike, have I saved enough? Mike, can I get enough income in retirement? Mike, should I claim Social Security or my pension early? All of these are questions that we talk about with our clients. And again, there's a lot of reasons for that. Part of the reason is the stock market. The stock market for the last 12 years had done really well prior to 2022. So 401k balances, IRA balances are higher than ever. So people are getting frustrated with the current work environment. They've got more money than they've ever had. They're just saying, hey, it might be time to go. And the conversations we have with our families, the one we work with at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, they become quite emotional as well, because a lot of our family members are somewhere between that age of 60 and 70 years old. They're starting to go through the death of their parents, their grandparents, even coworkers, their friends. So what they communicate to us, it's kind of a wake-up call for them that they don't know how much time they have, right? They may be in great shape now, but as we've seen over the last few years, life happens. Nobody knows how much time they have. They have more money than they ever need. And one of the questions that's posed to us a lot of times, and it's rhetorical most of the time, is how much is enough? How much is enough? And time is the most coveted asset that people have. And we don't know how much time we do have, so people are deciding to retire earlier than ever. So one of the things that I talk about with clients is, you know what, Tom Hegna is one of our retirement income mentors. He talks about retirement as being kind of three phases of life, right? You got your go-go years. Your go-go years are your 60s to your mid-70s. You're never going to be more active or healthier than you are today, and that's when you need the most income. But that's when you can do things, while you still have your health, you still can get around. That's followed by the go slow years, which is mid to late 70s going into your mid 80s, right? So you're still active, you're still doing things, but maybe not quite as much. And maybe instead of traveling a lot, maybe the money's going towards healthcare or something else, right? Things are starting to creep up as we get a little bit older. And then that's followed from late 80s into your 90s of what they call the no-go years, which means not only can you not go, but you don't even want to go if you could, right? So we try to get people retired in the go-go years. How do we get you retired sooner than later with the amount of income you need now, a rising income over time, and not taking more risk than we need to over the next 10, 20, 30 years of retirement? Because it goes back to that question, how much is enough? Right? So if you've saved $1 million and Social Security between you and your spouse is going to kick in 50 grand, and I can show you a way on that $1 million to get about $40,000 to $50,000 of more supplemental income just from interest and dividends without ever touching the principal. So now you can have $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 of recurring income in retirement independent of market conditions. If your bogey is Mike, we only need $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, then how much is enough? Right? If you've won the game, stop playing the game. Life is too short, and we don't know how much time we have on this great earth. So let's take advantage of it and spend it doing the things that we want to do with the people that we want to when we want to do it. So now that's an aside. That's my soapbox for the moment. But that is how we plan retirements at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. Now, I think another reason for that outside of the high 401k balance is that a lot of people are now engaging in our Retirement Success Blueprint, our written income tax estate and retirement plan. We've always been taught that retirement plans are about the investments. Right? Your IRAs, your 401ks, your stocks, your bonds, your annuities, your life insurance. But as people go into retirement or they get close to retirement, you start to realize that there's a whole lot more to this than just your investments. And so people are engaging in real retirement planning. They're seeing the answers to their questions. They're seeing that they can live a fruitful retirement. They get income off their investments. They know confidently why and when they're claiming Social Security. They know they're going to leave the legacy that they want. They can enjoy the retirement vision with the assets they already have. And they're just saying, let's retire now. If it's doable now, why wouldn't we retire now? Now let's keep talking about Google. So we typed in early retirement to the Google search bar again, and it became early retirement and Social Security. So how are those two correlated? Well, most people are eligible to take their Social Security benefits as early as age 62. So I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of people are choosing to retire at 62. And it's considered early because your full retirement age, your FRA, according to Social Security, is somewhere between 66 and 67, depending on when you were born. So for most people who have not elected Social Security, your full retirement age benefit is when you can receive your full amount, not the discounted amount, but the full amount of your Social Security without any haircut or penalty. Because if you take your benefits at 62, you're going to receive a discounted amount to the tune of about 25% less than what you thought you were going to get. So that's something you have to consider when taking Social Security benefits early. The other thing is when you take your Social Security benefits prior to your full retirement age, you now have an earned income limit, an earnings test, which means if you choose to engage in kind of a phased retirement where you're not retiring completely, maybe you're going to work part-time, maybe doing some contract work, now you can only make a certain amount. So in 2023, for most people, that's about $21,000 of wages or profits from a business if you don't want to be penalized with the earned income penalty because of what they call the earnings test. So once again, that $21,000 doesn't apply to money you're taking out of your IRA or 401k or the Social Security or a pension. The $21,000 earnings test for Social Security, if you take your benefit before full retirement age, is really designed to say that's earned income. You're getting a W-2, you're getting 1099 profits from a business, something like that. So it's something that we can calculate for you and say, okay, is that something to consider for you? So that's what we call a phased retirement, where somebody says, you know what, I make 50, 60 grand right now. If Social Security, even discounted, is going to kick in $30,000 a year, and I can take another $30,000 off my investments, and maybe I'll work part-time for benefits, guess what? I'm going to make more money in retirement than not working part-time. So that's definitely something to consider, where phase one is, you know, part-time into retirement, kind of limp into retirement. And then the second thing, phase two, is, okay, hit 65, I get Medicare, I don't need to work anymore. So that would be considered early for Social Security. But a lot of people are doing it now because they don't know how long they're going to live. They hear all these crazy, scary stories about how Social Security is going to go broke or it's going to get discounted in 2034, and they choose to retire, start their Social Security benefits early. Now, that doesn't mean that's what you should be doing, by the way. So just because you retire doesn't mean you have to take your Social Security benefits, or even that you should take your Social Security benefits. And that's why you should have a Social Security analysis done as part of your overall retirement plan to make sure that all 81 different options you have available to you, you're making the best decision based on math and science, based on whether you're married or you're not. And there's a lot of factors that go into when you should be taking Social Security. Your health status, your tax plan, all that's going to have an impact on when you take your Social Security. What you want to do from a legacy standpoint is going to have an impact. There are a lot of factors that go into it. So you need to weigh out all those factors just to make sure you're making the best decision possible for you and your family. So to clarify, I talked about full retirement age. At Social Security, they call it FRA, full retirement age. Then about retirement discount if you retire at 62 or basically any time before 66, 67. So questions that stem from that are, what about the fact that your benefit grows until you're 70 if you don't take it? What's the difference between full retirement age and what you get at age 70? So let's say your full retirement age is 66. Then from 66 to 67, you get 8% guaranteed growth on your Social Security income. So from 67 to 68, you get another 8% guaranteed increase. So over that four-year period, you would get a guaranteed 32% cumulative increase on your Social Security benefit. So some people look at that, and they look at that, what banks are paying them from a guaranteed amount or the volatility in the market. What are you getting from the bank, right? A few percent, maybe less. So you're looking at guaranteed lifetime income, getting an 8% jump every year that you wait to claim Social Security. So some people are saying it's too good to be true, so let's just take advantage of that because we can't get 8% safely anywhere else. So that's how that works. So if you start taking your Social Security benefit at 66, if that's your full retirement age or your FRA, then it's going to be the full amount that you expect. If you delay, you're going to receive what they call delayed return credits, which is 8% simple interest per year, every year up until age 70. Now, if you start taking earlier, it's actually called an actuarial reduction, which means you basically receive Social Security payments at a discount if you claim it before your Social Security full retirement age. So this wording, I get it, is confusing. We run into that quite a bit from a standpoint that there's some people that come to us for the first time and we start engaging in Social Security conversations that say, I'm going to wait until my full retirement age to take Social Security. And there's no real rhyme or reason to it except that they know that that's their full benefit. Now, that doesn't mean if you elect your full benefit, you're going to receive the most. So that's also independent. So the title of full retirement age is deceiving for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. And that's part of the benefit of the analysis, the Social Security analysis that we do. We do a break-even analysis. So if you took it at 64 versus 67, what's your break-even? Is it 75 or is it 82? We'll also do a spousal analysis. A spousal analysis says, okay, well, you both have different levels of benefits. How can we start the income sooner to give you the maximum amount of Social Security available over your lifetime without leaving a lot of money cumulatively on the table? We can run both of those analyses for you if they apply. So here's what we project from a lifetime basis, because then once you have those numbers, then you can see what your Social Security decision will become. So it's much simpler because you have the numbers in front of you. It's not just some government report that says, hey, in this bar it says you get $2,000, and this one it says $2,400, so that's the magic number. No, it needs to be coordinated based on all the resources that you have. And there's one more thing that comes up in that Google search, and it's early retirement health insurance options. So if you're thinking about retiring prior to Medicare age, it's a conundrum for a lot of people about how they're going to cover these expensive healthcare costs, which is why age 63 and a half has become a really popular retirement age because of this thing called COBRA insurance, which means if you have qualified group healthcare coverage at your employer and you retire at 63 and a half, well, you can carry that same health insurance for up to 18 months, which will bridge you to Medicare at 65. Then you switch over to Medicare, and that solves the healthcare issue of expensive healthcare for a lot of people. So if we were to reverse this, kind of go back in time, let's say 10, 12, 15 years, very few people would ever execute on COBRA. Very few people would take advantage of COBRA because COBRA was the most expensive healthcare option at that time. Now, for many people retiring prior to Medicare, it's actually the least expensive option that they have. But what we do is we look at all the different healthcare options, because there are a number of them, and then we evaluate. Here's the cost for your healthcare. Here's the quality of healthcare you get. And then once again, you see that laid out, because that becomes part of our healthcare plan inside that Retirement Success Blueprint. So before we go to break, we've offered this a couple times today. It's just such a critical piece with all the uncertainty going on in the world, politically, socially, economically. Let's get you on the right track. I want to offer you what's called our Retirement Success Toolkit. Complimentary. I'm even paying for the shipping for you. So for me, it's about $25 out of pocket. For you, it is going to be life-changing. It's called the Retirement Success Toolkit. It's got a copy of my recently published book in it, The Retirement Success Blueprint, How to Build the Retirement You Deserve, a companion report, Are You Paying Too Much Taxes in Retirement, and 11 Signs You're Working with the Wrong Advisor. So the Retirement Success Toolkit can be yours free of charge, but you got to give us a call, raise your hand, let us know you want it, 866-316-0822, no cost, no obligation, just ask for the Retirement Success Toolkit, 866-316-0822, or go to crystallaketax.com, that's crystallaketax.com, love to get it out to you, no cost, no obligation, I'll even cover the postage, it's something you're going to want, it's going to help you on your journey in retirement. 866-316-0822. You are listening to Retirement Success Blueprint. I am your host, Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. And today we're covering some of the web's most Googled retirement questions, part two. We'll be right back.
This is the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first five callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for.
Call 866-316-0822 or visit us online at crystallaketax.com. Time now for the Retirement Success Blueprint with Michael Stewart, brought to you by Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, with offices in Madison and the Chicago suburbs.
Welcome back to the Retirement Success Blueprint. I'm your host, Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. And today we are covering the web's most Googled retirement questions, part two. Next up, we typed in what retirement accounts. And one of the things that came up was what retirement accounts can I borrow against, which is very few. Now, when we're talking about your employer-sponsored plans, so we're talking about 401ks, 403bs, 457s, thrift savings plans, all those employer-sponsored plans, most of them will allow loans. And that's one of the confusing areas because you go through your accumulation phase, right? Your saving phase, having access to 401ks, 403bs, thrift savings plans where you can take a loan against it without triggering taxes. But then when you move that money over to an IRA, people think they can just take a loan out of the IRA and they can't. They can do a distribution. If they qualify, they can put it back into the IRA within the next 60 days and still not have to pay taxes on it. But it's definitely not considered a loan by our friends at the IRS. And you can do a distribution at any point. So if you're 30 years old, you have 50 grand in your IRA, you can take $40,000 out and put it back within the next 60 days. But you have to be careful because you can only do that once every 12 months, right? And it's a rolling calendar, not just a flip the calendar December to January. And again, you have to meet that 60-day deadline. So you have to be careful with it. It's not a loan. Your employer sponsor plans typically are the ones you can take loans from. So next up is what retirement accounts should I max out first? One of the themes to successfully saving for retirement is, and let's make this easy, let's take all the complexity out of it. People get overwhelmed and there's too much complexity, and one of the easiest accounts you can contribute to is your employer-sponsored plan. So if you've got a 401k plan, a lot of times the employer's going to match you as well. So that's free money. Everybody likes free money. So start with your 401k plan in most cases and contribute up to the match or just as much as you can in the dollar amounts, and that's going to vary based on your age, but that's an easy account to start with. And then if you have excess money at your discretion, then you can continue to save for and maybe do potentially an IRAs. So if you qualify to be able to contribute to a Roth IRA, and if it makes sense from a tax standpoint, if you're in too high of a tax bracket right now and you think you're going to be in a lower tax bracket down the road, then instead you might want to consider a tax-deductible IRA if you qualify for that deduction. So this is where the customization comes into play, because the answer for you is going to be different than the answer for your coworker, your neighbor, your brother, your sister, even that cousin you don't like. There's a lot of different retirement options, but as a theme, simplicity is a good one, especially when you're just getting started. So the question I often get is, what retirement accounts are FDIC insured? And this is interesting because a lot of people, when we talk about an IRA, will say, well, how are your IRAs performing? Or what can I receive as a return from this IRA? Well, the IRA, individual retirement account, is just a tax code. It's a tax shelter. So it'll allow your money to grow tax-free in the form of a Roth, or grow tax-deferred in the form of a traditional IRA, but it has absolutely nothing to do with the type of investments that can go inside of it. So it has nothing really to do with the performance you're going to get. If you own, let's just say, Apple stock is going to grow the same in a traditional IRA as it would in a Roth IRA, as it would in a brokerage account. The only difference is how it's going to get taxed in the end. So when it comes to whether things are FDIC insured or not, it traditionally comes to the types of bank accounts. So if your bank qualifies under the FDIC coverage, then your CD, your savings account, your money market account, your bank account, those are FDIC insured, the Federal Deposit Insurance Commission. So let's say it's a CD. So your bank qualifies for FDIC coverage. You're using a CD through the bank, and you can have that CD even in an IRA. You can also have that CD in a Roth IRA, and both of those would be considered FDIC insured. For some clients with ours, even in a brokerage IRA like Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, we can do things called brokered CDs that are FDIC insured. The difference is that CD, we shop the country for interest rates rather than whatever just local rates are paying. So we tend to get an extra eighth, quarter, half percent over what local rates might be. Now, there's other rules associated with those, but you know, you can get FDIC coverage even in some of your brokered CDs. Now, there is a limit on how much that account will still be FDIC insured, even in an IRA, and that's still the $250,000 per registration. So if you've got a traditional IRA at the bank and it's in a CD that qualifies for FDIC insurance, it's still up to $250,000. So you can also have a Roth IRA at the same bank, and that also is covered for $250,000 because the registration is different. So if you want to have that conversation on what qualifies and what doesn't, a lot of people think you can only have $250,000 in a bank to be FDIC insured. No, it has to do with the type of registration and account it's in. For a lot of couples, you can basically, a married couple could shield well over $1 million if they have the right registrations in place. So within the IRA itself, you can literally have any kind of investment that you want to, but if you want FDIC insurance, then you got to use something different. Otherwise, that's when you would go with stocks and bonds, things like that. So none of those investments are covered by FDIC. So it really depends on what array of options do you need to select. So now, as a close, for those new to the show or just joining us, maybe you didn't catch the intro, I want to give you a little bit of background about myself and, more importantly, the firm that we happily represent that's celebrating its 15th anniversary as an independent financial planning firm this year. Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we are wealth managers. So what's the difference between a wealth manager and your investment broker? Well, an investment broker just talks about your investments. They tell you the value went up or down, but they really don't add you any value. They just sell you investments, right? They can't talk taxes. They can't talk estate planning. You know, in fact, they're probably charging an advisory fee and throwing in a bunch of funds, and the funds are actually the ones charging you an additional internal fee and really managing the money. So what's the advisor doing? A wealth manager shows you not only how you should be invested for the right allocation, but also structures your portfolio so that your income is coming from interest and dividends, not just hoping that the market's going up. A wealth manager assists you with your estate planning. Do you need wills, trusts, transfer on death deeds? They have a legal team in-house. A wealth manager shows you ways to reduce the impact of a healthcare event like long-term care. And lastly, a wealth manager deals in proactive tax planning, how to potentially save you hundreds of thousands, if not more, in unnecessary voluntary taxes over your lifetime. At Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we've got fiduciary financial planners, a CPA and tax team on staff. We work with a legal team in-house to coordinate the investments, the taxes, the estate plan, all under one roof. You deserve that. Your financial life is more complicated than just investments. Most people just have an investment broker. As you approach or you're in retirement, you need a wealth manager. A lot of people have just outgrown their broker, right? It was great when they were just throwing money at it, saying, okay, throw it in some funds and let it grow. But now they're knocking on the door of retirement. They're trying to protect what they have, get income off what they have, leave a legacy, and make sure that they're paying the least amount of taxes legally. Let's face it, your biggest expense in retirement is going to be taxes. And if your broker doesn't give you tax guidance, it might be time to upgrade the relationship. So keep us open as an option at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. So today we're going to wrap up with some listener questions. First question is, my wife and I are over 65. She's retired and I will retire in a year or so. At full retirement age, my wife's Social Security benefits are going to be a little bit less than half of mine. The original plan was to delay both of ours until 70, as the income won't be make or break. Now I'm wondering if she should take her benefit at full retirement age, then switch to the spousal benefit when I take mine at 70. This is from Chris. Chris, I'll assume your plan, base plan at least, has both of you claiming at age 70, right? So the first step to assess your options are going to be to get copies of your Social Security reports at SSA.gov. That's Social Security Administration.gov, SSA.gov for short. Now, everybody who's listening should go on, create a My Social Security account there, and download that. And if you want us to run the Social Security analysis for you, you're going to need that anyway. Then evaluate what you're trying to solve for in your plan. Are you trying to preserve your financial assets to maintain liquidity and pass money to heirs? Are you trying to create the highest possible survivor benefit for the spouse who lives the longest? Are you trying to minimize your current taxable income? Are you trying to mitigate high required minimum distributions at 73? Once you determine this, then we can model the what-if scenarios to decide whether to adjust your claiming strategy for Social Security. So as a default, not necessarily for your specific scenario, Chris, I consider Social Security a valuable, lifelong, inflation-adjusted source of income. It maximizes payments for the surviving spouse, and for a lot of couples, that tends to be important. So, Chris, if you've got questions on that, we can run that spousal Social Security analysis for you, no charge. We just need to get some information from you. Also, run the break-even analysis between what's the break-even for your wife using your scenario if she were to take it at her full retirement age at 66, rather than wait till 70 for the bigger checks, what's the break-even? And it's probably going to be about 82 or 83. So if you knew it was going to take 16 or 17 years to break even to make that the best decision for you, might that not impact what your claiming strategy is? We'd be happy to show you those numbers, Chris. Just let us know. Our last question from our loyal listener. This is a common theme. How do you know if you're spending too much money in retirement or if you could even spend more? Now, that's a great question to get into. This is from Cody. Cody's asking, how do I know when I'm spending too much money in retirement? Okay, Cody, so first of all, we always talk about the fact that when you're retired, you're not worried about how much money you're saving, right? So it's a little different story here. If you're younger, you'd have to answer that question. You have to factor in, gosh, am I saving enough money for retirement? But Cody, you're retired, so that's not the case anymore. So the simple answer is if you're spending your Social Security, your pension income, if you're lucky enough to have a pension, the old-fashioned type of pension, and you're just living off just the interest and dividends on your investments, then at first glance, you're going to be okay. But Cody, it also depends on how old you are. Because if you're in your 60s, you got to worry about future inflation and retirement more than somebody in their 80s, right? So if, Cody, you're retiring at 62, 63, there's a chance between you and your spouse, if you're married, that one of you is going to last well into their 90s. That's a 30-year plus retirement. Do we have enough income off our investments and rising income off our investments to keep up with inflation for the next 20, 30 years? Now, if you're in your 80s, you can probably get away with spending, or even late 70s, maybe spending all the interest and dividends off your income, because inflation's not going to be as much of a problem for you if we're only worried about it for the next 10, 15 years. But if you're in your 60s, you might want to spend a portion and also reinvest a portion, because chances are you're going to need that inflation hedge down the road. So hopefully, fingers crossed, you're investing more conservatively than you did in your working years, which means that you're not going to have as much growth or upside potential in your investments, but you're also minimizing the losses, which also means that you've got to grow your money the organic way. And that's through the reinvestment of interest and dividends, which means you shouldn't be spending all that interest and dividends if you're at that point. And you still want to make sure that even some of the dividend producing, the income producing investments that you have, also have growth components to it. You know, so that could be something like dividend paying stocks. So you're clipping the 4% coupon off of the stock, you know, to pay bills, but because it's an equity over the long term, it should go up in value. And Cody, thanks for sending in your question. That's a big one we get all the time is, you know, am I overspending or can I get more income off my portfolio if I needed it? And this is where Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, when it comes to talking about income in retirement, I believe you spend the interest and dividends and you don't touch the principal. In my books, I call it eat the eggs, not the chickens. If you don't eat the chickens, that's your principal. then the eggs are going to keep coming in year after year, right? They're a recurring resource. Unfortunately, most brokers, most Wall Street firms tell you to sell investments to pull income. But really, that's cannibalizing your principal. If you sell shares to take money out, that's not income. That's eating the chickens. They'll say, don't worry, the other investments are going to keep growing, and then you can just sell them later at a higher price. The problem with that engineering income is twofold. First, if you sell shares to pull income, you no longer own those shares for future growth and future income. Second, like 2022, right, when the market was down 19% for the S&P 500 for the year and the NASDAQ was down about 30% for the year, if the market's down, you've got to sell even more shares to get the same level of income. So on January 1st, 2022, if let's say a stock was at 100 bucks a share and you need to take out $1,000 a month, you had to sell 10 shares, right? 10 shares times 100 bucks, there's your $1,000. Now let's say at the market lows, October 2022, a lot of stocks not only fell with the market 20, 30%, some even fell 50, 70, 80%, a lot of those tech stocks. So with the October lows, let's say that $100 stock was cut in half, it's 50 bucks, but you still need that $1,000 that month. Now you got to sell 20 shares, not 10, but 20 shares just to get the same 1,000 bucks. That's how you go broke in retirement. It's a failed model. That's why if you got $1 million and you need 40, 50 grand in supplemental income, at Crystal Lake Tax and Financial, we make sure that the portfolio is generating your stocks, your bonds, your real estate, your alternatives are cash flowing 4 to 5% so that you can spend that $40,000 to $50,000 in interest and dividends, let the investments grow over time since you aren't selling them to get income. And that's going to give you confidence and clarity and let you ride out market crashes and corrections without A, spending principal, and B, still getting the monthly income you need in good markets and bad. Cody, that's a great question. I'm passionate about retirement income and tax savings. It's a great question on how to know if you're spending too much in retirement. Check your statements, folks. If you're spending interest and dividends only, you're fine. Or if your broker's forcing you to eat the chickens by selling shares each month or spending cash, that's also principal. If you find yourself spending principal, give us a call. We're going to show you a better way. So folks, I mentioned it earlier before, but I want to talk about the 15-minute complimentary strategy call. If anything we talk about today, you're like, you know what? I got some questions around that. Taxes, estate planning, financial planning, investment management, investing for income, eat the eggs, not the chickens. You can either go to crystallaketax.com, click on the calendar, and we'll set up a call, or 866-316-0822, right there. Get on the calendar. Great opportunity to talk directly with the fiduciary advisor, probably myself. We know what you want to spend your money in retirement looks different than your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your siblings. We know your Social Security amount looks different than your neighbor. Your investments are different than your neighbor. Your retirement should not be cookie cutter. It's specific to you. A 15-minute strategy call is a great opportunity to talk about what your retirement vision is. We know that families and individuals we work with have a plan for income. They have a plan for their estate. They have a plan for taxes. They have a plan for health care. We call ours a retirement success blueprint. We want to help you clean up that financial junk drawer of investments just so you're organized and you've got confidence and clarity going into retirement. So go to crystallaketax.com or give us a call. So say, hey, I want a 15-minute strategy call. No cost, no obligation. 866-316-0822. Thanks for joining us this week for the Retirement Success Blueprint. This is your host, Michael Stewart, fiduciary financial planner with Crystal Lake Tax and Financial. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend. If you know someone that could use conservative, tax-focused financial planning advice, don't keep us a secret. You can always get more information at crystallaketax.com. Until next week, be safe, be humble, and never settle for anything less than you deserve.
That's all the time we have for today. To speak with Michael off the air, call 866-316-0822. And for more information about how to make the switch to retirement income, visit us online at crystallaketax.com. Michael will be back again next week at this same time for another Retirement Success Blueprint.